Miriam was the oldest of the three children born to Amram and Jochebed. We know from Exodus chapter 7 and verse 7 that Aaron was 3 years older than Moses. And therefore, when Moses was led in the ark of the bulrushes at this particular time, his brother Aaron was 3 years of age. Moses was only 3 months. Aaron was 3 years. But Miriam was a lot older than that. It is most probable that Miriam was at least in her teenage years. And I think you can see that from the fact that she's able to speak with Pharaoh's daughter. She's able to suggest going to fetch a nurse of the Hebrew women to look after the child and nurse the child. But added to that, we are told here in verse 8 that she was a maid. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And that term maid is a very important term. It's used generally to describe somebody who was of marriageable age. So that would suggest to us that Miriam was quite a lot older than Aaron and Moses. Moses the younger, then Aaron in between, and Miriam was the oldest of the children. Now her name signifies bitterness. It comes from the Hebrew root, which means bitter or bitterness. And the New Testament equivalent, the Greek equivalent, is the term Mary, or the name Mary. Mary in the New Testament, in the Greek language, is really the equivalent of the Hebrew name Miriam. Comes from this root, which means bitter. We think of the waters of Marah, and that means the bitter waters, the place of bitterness. And Miriam is derived from that, indicating bitterness. It may have been the case that she was given this name by her parents to signify the bitter experience that they were enduring in the land of Egypt. Her name may signify that time, that hardship, that affliction that the Israelites were facing. And when Miriam was born, her parents gave her this name. But this name, this term, contains a different application in the case of Miriam herself, because the root of bitterness became her snare, and it caused this woman of strong character and remarkable qualities to lose out with God. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 24, Deuteronomy chapter 4, or 24, Deuteronomy 24, and it is the verse 9. We find here Moses is speaking about leprosy. Take heed in the plague of leprosy that thou observe diligently, and do according to all that the priests and Levites shall teach you. As I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do them. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way, after that ye were come forth out of Egypt. And Moses is drawing attention now to an incident in the life of Miriam. And that incident serves as a means of instruction for the people of God. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way. And that indicates to us, when we think of this name Miriam and what it signifies, bitterness, it really indicates to us, and it sets before us an illustration of the snare that Miriam fell into when she allowed the root of bitterness to get into her heart. And as a result, she lost out with God. So the Lord has something to teach us concerning this remarkable woman. There are really three incidents, three events that are set forth in the scriptures regarding the life of Miriam. The first of them is here in Exodus chapter 2. And when we look at this event here concerning the birth of Moses and his hiding in the ark of the bulrushes, we find here the perception of Miriam. This is the first time that she appears. She's not mentioned by name. We're just told in verse 4, and his sisters stood afar off to know what would be done to him. And of course the scripture makes it clear that there only was one girl in the family, so it cannot be anybody else but Miriam. His sister stood afar off. This is the first time that she's mentioned. And here we find this first mention most informative, because we discover her sense, her strong sense of family affection, family loyalty, and family duty. Keep in mind here the dangerous atmosphere in which she lived. Pharaoh wants to rid the nation of the Hebrews, and therefore he has decreed that all the male children born to the Hebrews should be put to death. And so we find an atmosphere that is charged with danger. The death sentence hung over the Hebrews. And now we find Miriam concerned for the well-being of her baby brother. She watched to see what would happen to him. And that's not mere idle curiosity. I believe that reflects the concern that was in her heart for her brother. And it highlights to us the fact that she was motivated by a sense of family affection, family loyalty, and family duty. What Miriam did next reveals the strong degree of maturity and spiritual perception that she had. Because whenever Pharaoh's daughter came along and saw the ark, and it was brought out, and she held the babe in her arms, immediately Miriam steps forth from her hiding place. She was standing afar off. She didn't want to be seen. She didn't want to be recognized. She was standing far off, hiding, watching to see what would happen. And as soon as Pharaoh's daughter found her brother, immediately Miriam steps forth. Verse 7, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? You see, she's not hiding now. She's come right out into the open, and she's acting now on behalf of her brother. She's acting out of his interest and for his well-being. And surely that indicates to us the strong sense of affection and loyalty and duty that she had, even though she was just a young girl. There are many young girls don't have very much affection for their siblings, for younger children that are brought along. Sometimes there's envy at the attention that a newborn baby has in the home. But here we find Miriam, and she's concerned for her brother. And she has this sense of loyalty and this sense of duty to him. But it goes a lot further than this. Because not only does she manifest concern and courage, she manifests great perception. Because when she asks Pharaoh's daughter in verse 7, shall I go to thee, shall I call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? You'll notice that she uses the term Hebrew. And in mentioning that term, she saved the nation. George Matheson, who was the blind Scottish preacher, wrote on this passage, and he said, the ark, left to itself, would only have postponed the catastrophe. If Miriam had gone away and not stayed to see what would happen, then it could well have been the case that the child could have been put to death. The princess, he says, left to herself, would have saved the child's life at the expense of its nationality. You see, if she had just found the ark and found the child with no intervention from Miriam, then she would have just taken the child without any of the background knowledge of what or where he came from, and he would have been raised as an Egyptian. But little Miriam, he says, by a stroke of precocious genius, preserved the nationality as well as the life of the child Moses. She said, shall I go and called to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, thereby clearly indicating that this child was a Hebrew. And in doing that, Pharaoh's daughter took Moses to herself as her own child, but under the understanding that he was a Hebrew, that he belonged to the house of Israel. And Moses did not lose that sense of identity as he was growing up, because he had been nurtured in his mother's house until he was brought eventually to the palace. And during that time there was instilled into him the fact that he was a Hebrew, that he belonged to the stock of Jacob. And therefore, we find here in this incident in Miriam's life, we find her perception. And that is revealing something of the character that she would later develop and progress into. Now, the second event is found in Exodus chapter 15. And when we turn over these few pages, these few chapters, we're turning over a period of 80 years. Exodus chapter 15 brings us to the time when Israel has been brought out, or is on the way out of Egypt. They have crossed the Red Sea. And you remember how the Egyptian army followed after them? They went down into the sea, the floor bed of the sea, and when the army was there, God closed the sea. And every one of them drowned in that destruction. Well, now we find that the perceptiveness of earlier years has progressed and matured to make Miriam a woman of strong character and of strong leadership quality. Because we read in verse 20 that Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Now here we find Miriam 80 years afterwards. So it's possible she's in her 90s. And at this time she's manifesting that perceptive spirit. She has perceived and recognized the mighty hand of the Lord in the deliverance of her people. And now she's returning praise to the Lord. But not only is she returning praise to the Lord personally, she's giving a lead. She's setting an example for the other women in the nation. You see there how it says that when she went out, all the women went out after her. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, and the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." She's leading the other women in the nation in the praise of God. And that reveals to us the strong character that Miriam had. She has developed her spiritual perception. Her spiritual maturity is so that not only can she see the hand of the Lord, but she's encouraging others to see the hand of the Lord, and she's encouraging others to praise the Lord for what he has done. I think it's an illustration of what Paul instructed Titus. If you turn to Titus chapter 2, he's instructing this minister of the gospel, and he says in the chapter 2 of that letter, Titus chapter 2 and the verse 1, he says to Titus, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now there's always different age groups in the Church of Jesus Christ. That is the way the Lord has ordained it. And there are also different stages of experience in the Christian life. When Paul speaks of aged women, he could be referring to natural age. And it could also apply to the sphere of experience in the Christian life. Some people saved longer than others. So whether it is in relation to natural age or experience, the thought here is that Paul is saying that if you know the Lord and if you have the experience of the Lord, then the Lord has given you a role and a function to play, and that is to be an example to others. Just as Miriam was an example, she recognized the hand of the Lord and she encouraged the other women in the nation to sing to the Lord, to sing praise to the Lord. And that's what Paul is saying here to Titus. He's saying, teach the aged women, teach the experienced women in the church that they be teachers. And he's not speaking here so much of teaching by way of in an audible fashion, in a verbal fashion. If you look there in verse 3, he uses he says that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, that they may teach the young women. And what he's saying is there, that the very example will be a means of instruction and teaching to the younger women, whether they're younger in age or whether they're younger by way of Christian experience, perhaps not long saved, not long on the road. What Paul is saying to Titus is, teach those women of experience that by their behavior, by their example, they will teach others. And the Lord sets us forth in the case of Miriam. There she is, after all those years. And she's setting the lead. She's giving the lead to the other women. And that is something I believe that the Lord has for every Christian woman. That as the years pass and as you grow in your knowledge of the Lord and in your experience of the Lord does that in order that your example will be a means of teaching, a means of instruction, a means of guiding and leading others who are not of the same experience. It's not so much leading by what they say, but by what they do. And example is the best means of teaching. And we find that in the case of Miriam, her perception and her praise. But the third and the final incident in Miriam's life is found in Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. It's an incident that is shrouded in shame and disgrace. For we read there in verse 1, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it." And the Lord heard it. Now here we find this occasion whenever Miriam rises up against Moses. We're told here that both Miriam and Moses, or Aaron, spake against Moses, but it would seem very clear that Miriam was the chief instigator here. She's put first. And not only that, as you read on, you find when the Lord's anger is kindled, that it is Miriam who was chastised. Verse 10, "And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous." It is Miriam who receives this chastisement of the leprosy. But added to that, when you look at verse 1, the verb to speak, Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses in the Hebrew grammar, that verb is put in the feminine. And it's a part, it's one of the rules of grammar that the verb will take the same gender as the noun. The noun is the term Miriam. Aaron is a masculine name, but Miriam is feminine, and the verb follows in the feminine gender, in the feminine form. And that suggests very clearly that Miriam was the chief instigator here of speaking against Moses. She spoke against him, and it led to the Lord's chastisement being put upon her. Now the snare here, I want you not only to see the speech, but the snare that she fell into. The problem was not really the wife of Moses. They speak against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. That may have been Zipporah, who was a Midianite, or it may have been the case that she had died and Miriam had married another, an Ethiopian woman. We don't know. We're not told. I think it's probably referring to Zipporah. But anyway, Miriam's not happy with this, and she's not happy with the wife of Moses, and she has judged Moses to be unfaithful. She's judged him to be wrong in this matter. And she raises this whole thing, but really it's not Moses' wife or Moses' action in this relation that was the chief problem. The problem we find in verse 2 was pride and envy in the heart of Miriam. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" You see, the goalposts have changed. The Ethiopian woman was really just an excuse for them to get their claws onto Moses, because deep down within, they were envious of his position. Remember, Moses is the youngest. He's the youngest in the family. But the Lord had chosen him to be the leader of his people. And therefore Moses had been elevated above them in that office and in that capacity. And they're wanting to be on an equal level with Moses. Has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? Kind of put themselves on the same level as Moses. And that reveals to us that the real problem here was the problem of pride and the problem of envy and jealousy. But it was not to their advantage or to their benefit, because as we read on, we find the suffering that was inflicted upon Miriam. We're told here, the Lord heard it. Verse 2, the Lord heard it. And the Lord called them out to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord, we find in verse 6, said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house." Now remember, they have judged Moses to be unfaithful. They have judged him to be wrong in this matter regarding the Ethiopian woman. But the Lord doesn't make any mention of the wife of Moses. But he defends the faithfulness of a servant. The Lord's estimation was completely different from theirs. "With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude, the likeness of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" I notice the Lord refers to Moses as his servant. Yes, he was their brother. But the Lord wasn't looking at it in that light. The Lord was looking at it in the aspect that Moses was his servant, and they had criticized him in that office. They had criticized him in that office, in that position. And the Lord now comes to the defense of a servant. And he takes them to task for what they have said. And the Lord passes his sentence, passes his verdict on the matter. And he says to them, you should have been afraid. You should have been afraid to speak against my servant Moses. What the Lord was teaching them here was that Moses was not accountable to them. Moses was not accountable to them. He was the Lord's servant. But they had spoken against Moses. They had criticized him. And the Lord said to them, it's not your place. It's not your place to speak against my servant Moses. He's accountable to me. He's accountable to me. And the Lord assessed the whole matter. Now, I think we should beware here of a judgmental and a critical spirit. If you turn over to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. The Apostle Paul is dealing with the situation in the church at Rome where there were believers of different experience, different degrees of spiritual growth, and some were strong and some were weak in the faith. And Paul says in verse 10, to those who were looking down on others and judging them because of what they did or what they had not done, he said, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And what he's saying here is, I'm not the judge of my fellow believer. My fellow believer is not the judge of me. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Lord is our judge. It's not for me to judge another person whether they are faithful to the Lord or not. That's for the Lord to do. The Lord hasn't put us in that position. Verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. The Lord has not made us the judge of our brethren. And in the case of Miriam and Aaron and Moses, the Lord had not made them the judge over his servant. Moses was accountable to the Lord. All the servants of the Lord are accountable to the Lord. They're answerable to him. And that is true also in an individual setting as believers. We are not the judge of our fellow believer. They are not our judge. The Lord is our judge. And therefore, we have got to guard against a judgmental and a critical spirit. Because that's the snare that they fell into. And we find here that Miriam suffered. If you look at verse 10 of Numbers chapter 12. Verse 10. That Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. This leprosy came upon her. And as a result, she was put out of the camp. Verse 14, the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received again. Aaron has intervened. He has asked Moses to pray for his sister, to pray for Miriam. And I believe the difference here, the reason why Miriam was the one inflicted with the leprosy and not Aaron, was because Aaron immediately recognized what he had done wrong. Verse 11, Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord. Notice that, my Lord. Not my brother. But my Lord, he's referring to Moses in his capacity as the Lord's servant, the office that the Lord has called him to. I believe that indicates that Aaron had recognized his fault and recognized his wrong and had repented of it. But Miriam was the one that was inflicted with leprosy, and as a result she was put out of the camp, shut out 7 days, rendered unclean during that time. You see, this action, this speech, brought the chastisement of the Lord. Brought the chastisement of the Lord. But not only did it do that, it stopped the whole journey. Look at verse 15. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. You see, her action not only affected herself, not only brought chastisement from the Lord, but it stopped the whole progress of the people of Israel. Not one step was taken forward until Miriam was brought in again. The whole thing stopped. The whole journey stopped. This action, you see, reminds us that we are not just merely individual believers. We are members one of another. And if one member suffers, then the whole body suffers. What one believer does affects the whole body. Miriam here is put out, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. She was brought in, she was restored. But we find that the rest of her life was lived in seclusion. We do not read of Miriam again until Numbers chapter 20 and the verse 1. And the reference there is only in relation to her death. Some 38 years later, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, onto the desert of Sin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. That's the last reference. And it's not in relation to any work or action in her life. It is in relation to her death. And from the time of Numbers chapter 12, when she spoke in the way that she did, from that time until now, her life is really concealed in seclusion. Now she was restored to the Lord because she was brought in again and the children of Israel journeyed on. She was brought in again. But there was no great act of faith, no great act of service. Her days are shrouded in seclusion. And it goes to remind us that pride and envy and jealousy can render us ineffective to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. And the verse 23. Proverbs 29. And verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. And here we have this woman who first appears as a young girl, and she's showing great perception, and then she's leading the other women. She's setting the example, but then she falls into the snare, and she's never heard of again until the day of her death. Until the day that the Lord took her home to heaven. And surely this should remind us. Those words in Deuteronomy 24. Remember. Remember what the Lord did to Miriam. Remember what happened to Miriam. Remember and beware of this snare. Beware of this snare, beware of pride, beware of envy, beware of jealousy, beware of a judgmental spirit, beware of a critical spirit. Beware of it. Be afraid of it. Because it will only rob us of our effectiveness for God, our usefulness for Him, and our fruitfulness in the service of the Lord. But rather let us keep in mind the picture of Miriam on the banks of the Red Sea as she goes forward, not only praising the Lord, but encouraging others to do the same. Let that be the abiding thought in our minds, and let that be what we desire in our life, to go on with God, and also to be an example, to be an encouragement, to be a blessing, to other believers. That is the picture that we should keep in mind regarding Miriam. The Lord places some women in Scripture as a great example. And there are other women in Scripture that are set there because to remind us of the snares and the pitfalls that we can so easily fall into, whether as individual believers or collectively as a church. Those snares are there. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And we need to take heed. We need to take heed to our own hearts. We need to take heed to our own spirit. And may we learn from the example of Miriam.